Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about how you can become a more effective actor by streamlining your process. I'll explain. Okay, here is something I discuss quite frequently, and I think it's my job as an acting coach to hit the same basic lessons over and over again, but from a different viewpoint, hit it from a different angle, use different terminology, because, you know, there's only so many lessons with regard to what we are supposed to be doing when we're acting. And so I try and rephrase lessons because on a given day, I find that you can hit an actor with the same basic lesson, but put differently, and it can turn those lights on. So forgive me if I have gone over some of this in previous podcasts, but my goodness, does it bear repeating. So this business of the busy work that actors have been made to believe they need to do to earn the right to portray character. You know, this is at the root of one of my big problems with old-style, antiquated acting methods that has you breaking down your scenes and doing all of this acting nonsense that I think just encumbers the actor more than it actually enlightens and helps them illuminate the path they need to take. And so let me continue to give you examples. I call my approach the Real Life Actor because I always want to turn to the book of life, and I think in life we do our best work. I would ask you to just think once again, when you've had an argument, a discussion, something that had conflict in your life, I want you to think about what it was that drove the scene. Now think about that. Have you had a little problem recently with a loved one, a friend, your wife, girlfriend, boyfriend? I want you to think about what it was that you became preoccupied with. What was it? What was that thing you became obsessed with? That misstep that the other person made, that thing they said, that thing they did, that really got your goat, man. It really bothered you, and you wanted to pursue that thing because it hurt you, it bothered you, it insulted you. What was that thing? Now, be honest, and just let's before you say yes, but that's real life and this is acting. No, let's just talk about that. What was that thing? You know how you become fixated on a misstep someone makes, some little thing they did at a party with you, something they missed, they forgot, some reply they didn't quite word properly, and so you assume the worst in them? It's not suddenly an essay about the thing. It's just a thing. And then you become obsessed with it, and you want to pursue that thing. And while you do, and as you're communicating, and as you're, you know, the battle lines are drawn, and you step onto the field of play, and you engage this other person with what it was that bothered you so much, all of your systems take over, and, you know, if there are any blank spots in there, they're all filled. How much prep do you do in real life? I keep coming back to this, you see, because I feel that real life is definitely the model. I mean, let's face it. If there was a way that you were about to portray a character and I said, okay, just memorize your lines and then here, take this pill. You don't have to think about anything else. Just get in there now and do it. That would be the greatest, right? Or if I could even do it without the pill and just say, memorize your lines, get up, now do it. Less to think about, right? You'd be less encumbered with things that you felt you had to service. I've said it before in these podcasts, if you had to confront someone would you really want me to tell you beforehand, hey, listen, Donna, before you do, I need you to remember this, 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 and this, and then remember that you're going to want to cross when you say this line, and then make sure that you're sitting when you do this, and then remember to just kind of pause for a nice little beat change after you do that. And we have three action verbs that, you know, you don't want to forget those things. Those are going to come in real handy. I mean, really, isn't that just the beauty and the elegance of life that we don't have to think about those things? But you see, actors think they have to think about those things because they'll say, the first thing they'll say is, well, that's, you know, that's real life and this is acting. And I've got to fill all that in. I don't think you do. For instance, there are many schools of thought that say, well, you have to do a backstory. That's one of the things the acting coach will say, is say, no, you listen, I want a 10 to 15 page backstory. So they challenge you. They say, I thought you want to be an actor. You have to put in the time. You need to do a backstory. I'll be honest with you. I've never done a backstory. I've certainly never written anything down. I mean, I've thought about it. I've thought about things that pertained to my dialogue. Because you see, first and foremost, I think that our obligation as actors is to know what we're talking about, as in life. See, again, I just always go to, what is the deal in life? In life, if I'm talking about something and you stopped and you asked me, what did I mean? What's that reference to? I would know those things. But let me get back to this idea of backstory, you see, because I think this is one of the big myths, as if a backstory somehow drives your performance or crystal clarifies it. I don't think so. I think your lines actually create the idea in the listener's head that there is a backstory. And I believe we leave it to the listener to fill in that backstory. For instance, right now I'm speaking, hopefully with a little bit of authority, about a subject that I seem to know a little bit about. Now, I guarantee you I'm not thinking about my backstory. Not at all. I don't have thought bubbles of the experiences I've had that would give me the awareness or knowledge to be able to speak on this subject as I am. Not at all. It's not even a concern of mine. What defines a backstory for the viewer is what I'm talking about. In other words, one could theoretically extrapolate from the knowledge that I'm speaking of that I have this backstory. That I must be someone who has been in the business, I've had experience, I've done things, and so I'm speaking with, you know, some authority or some clarity on the subject. You guys decide that backstory. I don't have to worry about it at all. I don't think about it. See, I believe that if the actor becomes an authority on the words they speak, in other words, if you just simply know what it is you're talking about, if you're just simply clear about the information that you are putting out, your point of view, the audience will fill in all of that backstory business. The reason why I have a problem with all of the busy work that actors do is because as soon as you tell actors you have to do a certain thing in order to earn the right to play a part, the actor's insecurity will always question whether or not you've done the right amount of work. And this is a problem. I have a term, I use it all the time, you've probably heard me say it, and that is, lines and situation dictate character. If you talk about your experience in the Gulf War, I'll assume you're a Gulf War veteran. If you talk about, you know, what you're cutting your cocaine with, I'll assume you're a coke dealer. If you continue to use improper grammar or mispronounce words, I will assume that you haven't had a proper education. It's that simple. there's no need for you to write a backstory about how you're a country bumpkin. Lines and the situation you're in a scene, will dictate your character, will let us know who you are. That's how it works in life. When we meet people, they're not trying to generate through their words their backstory. Their backstory in our mind, as we put it together, is merely a byproduct of what they've said and done and the situation they're in. We think, oh, I bet you this person is probably like this. I bet you they come from this kind of home. Oh, this person seems like they were perhaps abused. This person seems like they're in a bad relationship. They could be talking about many other things unrelated to their relationship, yet the way that they talk about that thing will generally shed light on their backstory and who they are. Now, again, if you want to do this kind of stuff, well, that's great. If you got the time on your hands and, you know, you just love to do busy work and you have nice cursive writing, or you're quick on your computer and you type with both hands and you just want to do this kind of work, that's great. That's fabulous. You know, everyone needs a hobby. But don't think that if you don't do that work, you cannot generate the type of acting that you would like to generate. You see, I honestly believe that the work you do as an actor is truly about quality and not quantity. In fact, you've probably heard me say that when I'm working with an actor, I try and get them where I need them to be in the fewest moves possible. Because the more I speak to an actor while we're working about the various details of something, the more they're apt to get in their head as they try and either implement all those details or sort through those details and, you know, try and bring those details to their work. That is the danger of getting in your head as an actor. And I've spent more of my time trying to get actors out of their head than ever into their head. Oh, actors have no problem getting into their head. It's getting them out of their head and having them pursue a very streamlined idea of what is happening in the scene, so that the chances of them being able to tap into their instincts and intuition on the spot and get them to react spontaneously, you see, I have to keep them away from too much work. And this idea that you do all the work and then you throw it all away, as I've said time and time again, that is a myth. It doesn't work that way. How many times have you heard me say, I could send someone into a group of people and just say, hey, you know, make this up. And you're a female police officer and, you know, you had a stakeout last night and everything went south. And just make up a bunch of stuff. People will believe you. Of course they will. They always do. I've tried this experiment many times. I've had people do it. It always works. It's the actor that thinks that the way they get where they're going is they just keep adding more stuff into the soup. You know, I'll do my work, I'll do this, I'll study that, I'll break it into beats, I'll have all these action verbs, I'll have this, I'll have that, whatever all this other nonsense is, this terminology that acting coaches create or make up, and it's really there. I don't think it's on purpose to confuse you so they can just keep you confused and back on your heels in their class forever while you continue to pay for tuition month after month because you're such a dutiful actor. You feel you've got to, you know, figure this particular class out before you leave it because you don't want to be a quitter. I don't think it's that manipulative. I think it's just done out of ignorance. And most of the coaches that are guilty of this have never really worked as an actor. You know, this is just some crap they've made up in the basement of this place where they teach, and they've managed to, you know, I don't know, corral actors into this place, and you give actors touchy-feely stuff, and, you know, you get them to think about something sad, or we have some emotional recall, or get someone to cry, or really yell at each other, you know, really close with their faces. They feel like something's happened, you know. Their ears hurt from the noise, and they think, yeah, wow, that was a real moment. It's all just shit. Well, it's not shit. It's just acting shit. I guess it's something, but it has nothing to do with working in the professional world. I saw someone had mentioned the name of a particular coach, and so I recognized this actor, someone I've respected and seen their work, and so I thought, oh, this person's teaching, let me see what they're doing. Because, you know, just because you're a successful actor doesn't mean that you're going to be a successful teacher. I mean, I think that teaching and being able to impart knowledge and actually impact change in your students is a completely different set of muscles. So just because someone could have even won an Oscar doesn't mean they're going to be a great teacher. They might be able to share a lot of really cool anecdotes, and that might motivate people in some way, but the idea of getting in there in the nuts and bolts, that's a whole different skill. But I'm always more encouraged when I hear that people that have actually been doing it and have done it successfully teach. I think that's certainly a great starting point, but it's not a guarantee. And so I went to this website, and I saw, lo and behold, they had videos of examples of the work they did. Four different videos, and I watched all four. And in these four videos, they had there were two character scenes, and they shoot all of the scenes. You know, they tape them, which is another thing I never do and never will. I think it's ridiculous. And if you want to know why, go back and look at my podcast. It says something about on-camera classes, and I'm very clear about it. But I watched it. And what I noticed was that in each scene, the actors in earnest are really trying to communicate with each other. They're staring at each other as they cut back and forth. And I must say the editing was fairly nice. You know, it wasn't jarring. It seemed professional. But what it did show me was these two actors staring at each other, saying their lines. The lines were kind of natural, you know, but it was spooky. Why was it spooky? Because I could tell that these actors were so in their heads with whatever information they thought they needed to have cooking up there and stewing in their brains, that while they were staring at each other, I could tell that they weren't really present as we are in real life. Because the truth of the matter is, if I'm talking with someone and they start staring at me like that, just staring, it puts me off. It sometimes gives me the heebie-jeebs. And occasionally, I'll stop seeing that particular person because I will think, I don't like the way that person stares at me, a little like Hannibal Lecter, every time we have a conversation. And this was the case in every single of the four videos that I watched. They were identical in that sense. And I'm sure that probably what they were trying to do was in the scenes, they wanted to say, yeah, you see what you got cooking there? You see that? You got that cooking right there. You see what I mean? See that? See how that inner little machine's going? Oh, but you're just asking, can you have some coffee? But you got that little machine going on. You see, and this is my problem with acting classes, because there is a culture of acting exercises, of acting dissection, of acting speak, of acting talking, about the way we're going to do it, the things we're going to set up. And it is fraught. It is completely packed with this acting idea. And then the idea that then you throw it all away and then we get to real life is nonsense. It's never that way. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't happen. This is a myth. The problem is when you get in these acting classes, you kind of, well, it's like being in a place with a really bad odor, and the more time you spend there, then you don't smell it anymore. It's like any time I've ever walked past one of those, I don't know if you have them where you're hearing this, but it's like a soap place. I think they're called Lush. When I walk down the street past it, I can't stand it. I almost gag. Well, maybe in some cultures, these smells, these odors would be nice. But I've actually spoken to people that work in there, and of course they don't smell that anymore. Just like anyone who works in a place where there's really a strong scent, you get used to it. You don't even know about it anymore. That to me is like what acting is in these classes. we have on these acting goggles and we look at it and we think, yeah, look at me. But if I said, yeah, but let's just take this anywhere, put it at a barbecue, let's just walk outside and you just stare at each other and talk that way. And I'll ask any passerby, what's going on over there? They're going to think either something creepy, these people are on drugs, or they must be acting a skit. That's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to cook acting. Everybody in these classes, they want to cook an acting stew, and then they think you got to throw a lot of things into the stew, and that's how you make a multi-layered performance. Hey, I'm multi-layering as I'm speaking. I think I'm known as kind of a multi-layered guy, but through no effort. It's never my objective. I never think about it. Least it would make me a phony multi-layered guy, adding on layers just for effect, and I don't think I'd fool anyone. Maybe in a stupid acting class, but never in real life. So when I say that you want to become a more effective actor by streamlining your process, I would say to you, throw out everything that you don't really need to do. Don't give it any thought, you see? Because each one of these obligations, these acting obligations, these things that you supposedly need to keep in your head, become like balls you need to juggle. And so then you're trying to juggle 12 balls because you think, no, that's what's going to make me a Daniel Day-Lewis type actor. I'm going to have so many different things going on that people are just going to go, my goodness, look at that. What is that, a 33-layered cake? No, you just end up dropping a lot of the balls and then they're bouncing all over the place and you're scurrying around trying to pick them up and there goes your audition. And you've screwed up your lines again and you're not even talking to the other person because you're so busy being up in your head with all of these obligations you've given yourself. Now, I know this sounds so scary and blasphemous to some of you, thinking, how dare ye speak this way? Yeah. Well, as you've heard me say in the very beginning when I came up with these concepts, I basically went to what I thought was really great, magnificent life as it unfolded, and then I reversed engineered that and thought, what gets human beings to these moments? And it's not by breaking up scenes into beats like little acting sausages. What are you afraid of? What, are you going to miss a beat? Is that it? You're going to miss a beat? I had an actor tell me that once. Jeff, I think we missed a beat. I said, we missed a beat? Yeah, I think we jumped from the fifth to the seventh beat. We didn't hit the sixth beat. And in real life, I've never missed a beat. Ever. I've never looked back at a discussion and said, jeez, I got to get my beats together, man. I missed like six of them. No. And so I want to keep coming back to what drives a scene. You get your lines down. I mean, to where you really, you just don't know them, but you really understand what you're talking about. So that if I stopped you and said, hey, you just said that after he said that. Why? Why did you say that? Why did you use those words? What's the point of what you're saying? You would be able to explain it to me like a human being, not like an actor, not like some nonsense actor talk. You would explain yourself the exact same way if I stopped you in real life and said, hey, Bill, why did you just say that to her? The way you would explain that line is how I want actors to explain themselves. And then in life, if I said, hey, what's the point of this today? Why are you so upset? What's the point you're trying to get across? You know, in life, we tend to get it down to a very narrow point. We don't go on and on with a lot of psychosis. We just, a point. He insulted me. He's taken what I do with this business for granted. I'm never given, you know, the encouragement that I need. I think that he's lying to me, and he's the one that's been stealing my checks, and I need to clarify this. It's just really very finite, clear stuff. And I believe that the artist, the true artist, you see, when given just a few things to have to deal with, fills in all of that layering on the spot, cooking it right there. If you are beholden to a bunch of things that you think you need to do, how is it not going to distract you from being present, completely present as you are in real life, when you're having the conversation or confrontation? You know, in real life, it's really, really easy to tell when someone is not present, right? Somebody drifts off, man, just comes off the track just for a second. We're so quick to, I'm sorry, are you distracted? What's happening? Well, no, I just said this and you just seemed like you were thinking of something else, right? We're very quick to do that. And, you know, depending on the relationship, we're not shy, man. If I think I don't have your focus, I can see it in your eyes. So imagine. Now, let's pretend like we're not in cahoots and we're not in some stupid scene together where we get to stare at each other and go super slow and talk to each other while we're being filmed and we're trying to, you know, layer our cakes. Let's pretend like we're in real life. Think about how razor-sharp present you have to be to fool a loved one, a friend, a business associate. Yet, we do have other ideas that pop into our head. We do, for a moment, get distracted and think of other things. We do reflect on something we hear, but we don't necessarily want the other person to know that we've picked up on that thing. We're very clever with all of that. And we do it brilliantly in life, brilliantly. I think that I would certainly, in filming any great confrontation I've had in real life, I think it would easily surpass anything I've ever acted. I mean, I aspire to be as nimble and as clever in my acting as I think I am in life. Don't all of you? And so, you know, the reverse argument I always make is, as soon as you tell me, yes, but this is, you know, it makes me this or that, I go, yeah, but you don't do any of that stuff in real life. If it makes you so damn clever or so well prepared or, you know, so effective or so much better, you never use this stupid acting stuff in real life. You see, I'm going to keep hacking away at this, you see. The heavy brush, the resistance of all of this antiquated acting stuff that's been around that for some reason people think is, you know, the invention of acting and we have to pursue it this way. I think it's not efficient. And I know that most of the brilliant working actors that we adore don't do any of that shit. They understand what they're talking about. They decide to take the problem in the scene personally, and they pursue it with the same vigor they would in real life. I think the secret to acting is to really go through that knapsack that you're going to be carrying with yourself and say, what is most important? Let me not just fill this up to bog me down. I've said it many times, working actors travel light, and this is what I mean. You've learned to understand what's going on in a scene as you would understand what was going on in a scene that you would confront in real life. You understand your point of view, and you've made that problem your own. You've decided to take it personally. And you don't need to do that by coming up with lists of reasons why something bothers you. No, the professional actor merely takes it on and says, this is now my problem, stand back. That's it. I don't need to write a backstory to understand why something pisses me off. I mean, you want to be adept at this? Then you got to put down all that silly stuff and you have to decide, look, this is my character's problem. Even though it's something I've never encountered, or, you know, up to this point, well, I've never been a racist, or I'm not a drug dealer, I've never been in jail, or, you know, I don't know what it's like to be a dirty cop. I've understood enough in my real life. I've seen enough stuff. I've read enough stories about it, seen articles about it. I have empathy. I have intellect. I understand how this works. Now, I put myself there. I decide I'm going to justify my actions. This is what I do. Let's go. Action. Why not? What's stopping you? I tell you what's stopping you. Acting nonsense that you think you're obligated to do in order to get in the right space and then do a little relaxation exercise and, you know, I don't know, a downward dog. And so, you know, you feel like you can get in the right headspace. Oh, come on, man. Come on. That's all the stuff that is keeping you from getting where you need to be. That's the stuff that disempowers you, that robs you of your ability to do this stuff on the spot when they say go. Because you've convinced yourself, you know, you need to do a certain little watusi thing, a little dance step, a little bunch of gyrations and little, I don't know what, nonsense crap that people have told you. You haven't broken your scene down right. You either know what you're talking about or you don't. What's all the extra work for? Read the lines. You know what you're saying? Okay, well, explain it to me. What are you saying? Don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about what you ate yesterday or what happened last year or anything else. If it's in the scene, know about it. If it's not in the scene, forget it. Travel light. And I'm going to keep going at this. And I'm going to keep hacking away until I get all those lights turned on, because I'm telling you, this is the way. And I would just say, as I always do, if you're taking the long way around, how's that working out for you? Doesn't it tend to trip you up when you go into the audition? You know how many times I've heard that? Oh, I was trying to do this and that and this and that. I just was all in my head. And then when I got in there, I forgot my lines and I asked to do it three times and blah, 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 blah. As opposed to the person that just has, you know, a beef and they walk into the room and they let the person know what the problem is and know in certain terms and then they leave. What's to do? Understand what you're talking about. Lines and situation dictate character. Hit your mark. Deliver, that's it, and then leave, like you do in life all of the time. All right, sooner or later I'm going to get to you. Sooner or later you're going to see what I'm saying is true. I'm going to lighten your load and you're going to become a lot more nimble and efficient, because you're going to stop with the acting malarkey. Next time you have a problem in life, something that bothers you, which creates a situation where you feel you need to have a discussion, an argument, a conversation with someone, I really want you to stop and think about what it is that has you completely preoccupied. It's not going to be an essay. When you tell your friend what the problem is, I guarantee you, you'll get it out in a paragraph at most, if not two sentences. That's what you want to do with your acting. You want to be able to take what the problem is in the scene and get it down into a few lines. That's it. Memorize all of your lines to where you know them completely. You never have to hesitate. And know what you're talking about to the point that, as I said, if I stopped you and said, hey, why did you just say that? What do you mean when you say that? And you would answer it as a human would, never as an actor, no acting terminology, never use any acting terminology. We're trying to do real life. We don't want people to see us acting. So let's not discuss acting. Let's not bring up acting. Let's not have the work we do, the rehearsals we do, have anything to do with acting in any way. Let's just speak of what it is we're doing, like people do, about the problems they're having, the confrontation, the reason why they say what they say. Let's just keep it that way. Streamline your work. More isn't better, not when it comes to being an artist, being someone creative. You want to be unencumbered. You want to just pick up on the scent of what the scene is about and then pursue it. And leave as much room to be able to be spontaneous on the spot. You will fill it in. And I promise you, you'll do your best work. I know this because I've been watching actors in these situations for 37 years. I know this to be true. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Please remember to follow us on Podomatic or subscribe on iTunes. If you want to know anything else about the Real Life Actor approach, you can always go to reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.